You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore. Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And as I've told you up front, we have a very, very interesting show for you this evening. In just a minute, we're going to be joined by Lisa Haven. And she's been all over the map in what she's been covering, and really interesting and somewhat frightening stuff. And we'll get to Lisa in just a minute. But first, I want to remind everybody that we are brought to you by a number of sponsors here. We're going to mention just a few of them for this hour. Steve Quayle and Renaissance Precious Metals. Steve will convert your soon-to-be worthless cash. And I'll tell you, there's no way to avoid the crash, and it has nothing to do with what Trump is doing or not doing. It has a lot to do with the insurmountable debt. So short of debt repudiation, which I think is a fool's errand at this point, that's not going to happen. Steve knows that he has to convert your soon-to-be worthless cash into precious metals. And precious metals is the only thing that holds its value. How do you get a hold of Steve? How do you talk to him about what he does? Well, it's simple. Give him a call. 406-586-5847. We'll get back to Steve's deal in the next hour, because I've got a breaking announcement of something that he is doing, and it's really exciting. Anyway, we're also brought to you by ReadyMadeResources.com. ReadyMade Resources is absolutely a fantastic organization. I call Bob Griswold, the owner, King Prepper. He'll give you a free consultation, which is extremely rare, and they have everything under the sun, from night vision, which they'll finance for you, to water filtration, to communications, everything that you'd want for your prepper experience. Bob has it. Simply go to readymaderesources.com and then see what's there, see what you need, and then give them a call. And they'll consult with you about where you're at and where you should start if you're just a first timer. Also, we're brought to you by the best storable food deal in America. You need food, water, guns, gold, ammo, and medicine. I can help you with the food. We used to sell food in very large increments because we know that you need 2 years, and that would be what you need if we had an EMP. But we recognize that a lot of people couldn't afford that. So we reduced the quantity to 4 weeks. Now we're restricting orders to 2 per day because we want to make sure that everybody that wants to take advantage of this great deal can. Now there's nothing to stop you from coming back tomorrow and the next day and ordering 2 more. In fact, we have a lot of customers that do that. Well, what's the deal about this storable food? Simple. When we went to our manufacturer and said, hey, give us a 4-week supply. That'll get people through most initial parts of a crisis. They said, fine. I said, what do we charge? $250. I said, that's not bad. That's actually very reasonable. That's on par with the other companies. I said, I want to do better. And they said, what do you want? And I said, I want $99. And they said, whoa, okay. Do you think you can do it, Dave? And I said, I guarantee you, people are going to line up at this price. And they said, all right, so we did it. And man, oh man, were we ever right. Best storable food deal in America. Here's how you get yours. Simply go to your URL and type in preparewithdave.com. That's right. That's all you got to do, preparewithdave.com. No coupon codes, nothing like that. Simply go there, order, and then if you need to come back tomorrow and add to your order, that's fine. If you're an existing customer and you're seeking to add to your supply, we're going to keep this price in play as long as we can meet the demand. And that's the bottom line right now. So $99, preparewithdave.com. Well, we have just a wonderful, terrific guest. She was on about 5 weeks ago, and kind of really rocked people's worlds. I got a lot of comments on her appearance, and I've been reading what Lisa has been writing on Before It's News, as well as her website, and Lisa is really on to a lot of things that are, I would call, hot topics, and we're at a pivotal point in American history, and I think Lisa's capturing a lot of that. So Lisa Haven, welcome to the show. We're glad you could join us this evening.
Well, thanks for having me on, Dave. I'm excited to be here again. So much is happening. It's just nuts.
Well, let's talk about where your attention is in the very moment that we're in. What do you see as being the biggest challenges, things that people should be concerned about? What's your number one issue right now?
Well, all the stuff with the IG report is pretty big right now. Did you want to get to that number?
Yeah.
You know, there's so many things. Between Tommy Robinson, for starters, he's one that's just near and dear to my heart because he does the things that we do. We're journalists. We expose things. And though he's in the United Kingdom, he's doing what he does over there, and we're doing what we do here in America. And here I see he gets put in jail. People who have committed crimes against children, people who have done nasty things to kids, get 9 months in prison. And he's gets 13 months in prison and even longer sentence. And in addition to that, they just sentenced him to jail time with a high Muslim population, which means he has zero to little chance of being let out of there because he exposed a lot of the corruption in the Muslim population. So they're sentencing him to death. And
yes,
he is just a journalist simply doing the things that we do on a daily basis. So he's being sentenced to death simply for exposing the truth. And I think that this should ring in the hearts of everyone who cares about freedom, no matter what country you live in, you know. And I don't think any journalist, you know, believes that. If that were to happen, as much as I don't like Chris Cuomo or, you know, some of the liberal side journalists, I wouldn't wish that on anyone, simply because I stand out in the name of freedom and I stand out in the name of, you know, getting people to wake up to the truth of what's going on. But my hearts and prayers are with Tony and just, you know, the people that are his family there. And I think that's something that we also need to put at the forefront. In addition to everything, there's so many things right now going on in the news. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree with your assessment that this is going to be a death sentence. I think there is absolutely zero question about that. And I think the second aspect of this that really catches my attention is the fact that the people who sentenced him know full well what they're doing, and I think they're complicit in murder. And so I'm going to go to the empty blank here. The question that's not being asked and answered is, why aren't the people in the UK grabbing their pitchforks and they're out in the street? One of their own has just been sentenced to death for absolutely nothing. And these people, although they're making noise, need to make a lot more than noise. I mean, this should put a country in a state of near insurrection.
Absolutely. And what adds to it is, I'll give you an example from a report I put out on my channel on propaganda, the power of persuasion, and how the globalists are using this on us, on people, not just here in America, but globally. But the report I put out talked about Richard Stengel. He is the former editor of Time magazine, and he went to these globalist meetings, you know, the World Economic Forum that has their global agenda meetings. And I always like to watch a lot of what they do because so much information can be found in these meetings that they have. They have a YouTube channel I subscribe to. Well, in one of these meetings, Richard Stengel specifically said, basically saying that I know that propaganda exists. They do it in all countries. And he goes on to say how he believes in it and he thinks propaganda is a good thing and it's being used on citizens. And I wanted to just reach through the camera and slap the guy. You're like, what are you talking about? You know, you're talking about using propaganda. And here he is, the former editor of Time magazine, admitting basically that Time magazine is a propaganda machine. And that's what it is. And he knows it. In order to get people to believe in certain concepts, in order to get people. And I think the only reason that many people in the UK aren't grabbing their pitchforks against this is because the elite, the globalists, have waged a propaganda war. And so people are brainwashed, manipulated, propagandized into, well, it's not that important, don't listen to it, or scared to make conversations based off of propaganda they heard, or just told that for whatever reason, the government knows better than the average person. And so people are viewing the government almost as a good guy, when in reality, what's going on there is complete opposite. If any crime committed against the government is put above your crimes of murder, your crimes of rape, your crimes of any crime, And you cannot tell me a crime against the government because you believe a certain way is more or less insignificant than, I mean, it's way less insignificant, let me clarify that, than a crime of murder. But that's not how they are viewing it. That's not the propaganda that they're feeding people. And so they're feeding people a highly immoralized culture with a bunch of, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, if you will, but it's worse. It's not just that. It's murder, rape, incest, and all these things are on hit music shows. And so these kinds of things have been downgraded in the human eye. And so we don't see them as bad, even though they're evil to the core, and we think and we know we see them. The government has made it almost more of a sin to do crimes against them than anyone else. And that's what I fear we are seeing happening both here in America and there in the UK, and why more people's voices aren't being heard and why more people over there are not standing up for Tommy Robinson.
Well, let me do a little cross comparison here between cultures. And this really disturbs me, Lisa, because they effectively, and you're right, have given Tommy Robinson a death sentence. I would, if I were a betting man, I'd bet the odds he's not coming out of there alive, and he's probably going to get stabbed to death by Muslims in there who think that he has offended them. But if we go across the world to communist China, when you do such things in communist China, they take away your social credit points and they kick you out of your apartment, they withdraw you from school, and they fire you from your job. But I haven't seen any reports yet where they effectively sentence you to death. And so we're right now looking at the leadership in the UK is worse to their citizens than the communist Chinese are to theirs. I never thought I'd be saying that.
Yeah, you know, and that's a statement I never thought I'd hear, but it's almost at that level. I mean, it really is at that level. And you know, while we don't receive a credit score like the Chinese people at this time, and that's a, you know, where's your pitchforks for the Chinese people on that one? Oh, no, instead, Apple goes over there and says, hey, we'll put all our cloud information of your people on your open server so your government can monitor them more. I mean, give me a break. And then Facebook goes over there and buddies up to them because he wants more attention on his Facebook. It's all a money ploy with them. But it breaks my heart that in a different level it's happening. It's in a European country, in the UK. This is our fellow country, or, you know, that you just never would thought. But in any aspect, we have our own, not necessarily a label of a credit score, but they develop that on our Facebook, on our Instagram, on our Twitter, on our social media, the Musical.ly, the, you know, all these different social media websites, they have a profile on you, they have a profile on me. And so we're basically already labeled as to who we are and what we stand for. And this is how they were able to get Tommy Robinson in the first place. They already developed a profile on him, and then he was a targeted individual. And once you're a targeted individual, any little thing that they can grab out of thin air on you, they did. And now, as a result, he could very likely and very well, this is his death sentence. So just, you know, I want to encourage people to keep him and his family in prayer for them first and foremost.
You know, we don't have an overt social threat score yet, one that's public, but I'll tell you what I do know from the NSA. I have both a former agent and a current agent speaking to me on condition of anonymity that do not agree with what's going on, and they both have told me the same story. They have a rating system for you and me and everybody else in the country, and that rating system scores you on 16 different dimensions. So they'll divide you up, let's say allegiance to the New World Order, okay, gun owner, these kinds of categories they'll make up, and they'll give you a score for each category, and then they'll give you an aggregate score that's like a combination score. Now, they also are dividing people into groups, and it's the old Steve Quayle red list, blue list, green list. They're not calling it that, but basically high risk, medium risk, low risk, and the lines keep changing because they make it into a bell curve application. This is what I know to be a fact. Now, Lisa, this is why I'm also writing a book on FEMA camps, because if we lose politically, and if Hillary Clinton had gone into power, I believe this NSA list would be acted upon, and people like you and me would be sent away.
You know, I have no doubts on that. I put up a report, speaking of FEMA camps, just the other day, that, you know, you talked, I know, because me and you had conversations about this, and you spoke up for a number of years, the conspiracy theory, if you will, which is a fact. They just use that term to make us look bad. It's a term created by the government anyway, but Walmart being used as a FEMA camp. And that's what it is. They're being used as detention centers. Now, we know back in 2014, I believe it was, that the one in Nogales, Arizona, we had pictures leaked of photos of immigrant children who, you know, their parents illegally crossed. They were putting them in these Walmarts with barbed wire and everything inside these buildings. You have your porta potties, and the kids are just, you know, one single little one of those foil blankets. These are the highly mistreatment of children. But these all happened under Barack Obama. They weren't, they're still happening today, unfortunately, but that shows how easily, and it's not just the one in Nogales, there's one right now in Brownsville, Texas, which the senator, what is his name, Jeff Merkel.
Yes.
Went in,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, he went in there too, and he's a Democrat, but I'm all for it if he's going to expose some of the stuff that's going on, but he attempted to go to the one in there in Brownsville, Texas, and they refused to let him in. They turned him away. But this is a Walmart that supposedly had plumbing issues. We were lied to. And you knew that. I knew that. We talked about that. We said these aren't plumbing issues that they're having. They closed their doors permanently and then cleaned them out for these FEMA camps, something Janet Napolitano told us back when she was, you know, working her in her day. She came out and she said, hey, we are teaming up, Homeland Security is teaming up with Walmart. So if you hear something, say something, you know, her advertisement that she had put out a while back, and that's exactly what's happened. So to say that these Walmarts are not easily converted into a FEMA camp, they are. They can easily be converted, and me and you could be round up and put in one of these things. They're already doing it with immigrant children. It is a detention facility housing these children immigrant. And what behooves me is we also have the RX-84 centers, another form of your FEMA camp. Why do they feel the need to put them in these Walmarts? We have, when the RX-84 centers were meant for this sort of thing, yet they're not being utilized and many are empty. Why?
Well, I also recall what you said, too. This has been going on since at least 2010. Jesse Ventura, in his former show Conspiracy Theory, consists of an episode that you have a lot of trouble getting the video for now. And he and Alex Jones actually walked onto a FEMA camp-type facility, and they were turned away after answering a few questions. And this is something that was live on TV, and they showed children's playground equipment inside the barbed wire fence with the wire turned inward. And so you're absolutely right. But also, too, let me remind you one other thing, Lisa, that Merkel wasn't the only one. Representative Bridenstine, back in 2014 during the Central American invasion, tried to go to a facility run by DHS, and he said, I'm checking on the welfare of children. I think he suspected child sex trafficking, and they wouldn't let him in. They said, come back in 3 weeks and make an appointment. Here's a U.S. congressman in his own state denied entrance. And this is why I'm wondering why these congressmen aren't getting more forceful and saying, okay, you so-and-sos, I'm going to go get a subpoena. So why do you think these congressmen aren't being more forceful in their follow-ups?
That's a good question, and one that I'm waiting for the answer. I mean, even Jeff Merkley, he went in, he went out, but he's been a little more pushy about it, which is great. But why isn't something done to stop it? And the Democratic ploy is lots of blame it on President Trump. That's what they tried to do. They took those pictures from 2014, put them up on the web and said, oh, this is Donald Trump did this.
Yes.
No, Donald Trump did not do this. This was all started by Barack Obama. And Barack Obama made these FEMA camps. Why did he make them? Well, he had plans that Hillary Clinton was going to come up after him. We know this. And getting a little bit on the IG report, speaking of Obama and all his ties with Hillary Clinton, they've been in bed for a while. In 2015, for example, I'll give you this, the IG report exposed that Obama lied about knowing about Hillary Clinton's email, which we knew, but in that OG report, it's exposed. In 2015, Obama said he learned of Hillary Clinton's email scandal via the media. He found out when everybody else did. Well, according to the IG report, Obama's now lying because According to that report, Obama was one of 13 people that Clinton had direct contact with using her Clinton email account. So he's a liar from the get-go. He lied to the American people about the relationship he had. He knew about the email address. Well, what else does he know? What else isn't he telling the American people? And so I think we gotta kind of put all of this together. But you've got your FEMA camps, and anytime anyone talks about FEMA or the FEMA camps or the detention facilities or any, there's always a pushback. I know. Why am I blanking? Who's the Mormon? Oh my God! What's the name?
Are you talking about Romney?
No, the big Mormon that we all hate. Oh gosh, I could see his face. He came. Why can't I think of him? Glenn Beck. Oh my God.
Oh, you should have said journalism. Yes. Dysfunctional Glenn Beck.
Yeah, idiot. Yeah, that one. Okay, so yeah, he even came on one morning and said, "They're FEMA camps. They're real. I've seen them." And then in the afternoon, there's no such thing. He changed that quick, and then everybody knew he was a fraud, and he gave in to something after that day. But it's a scary subject, but it's a real subject. And we have 100% proof of what you've been saying all along, that yes, these Walmart centers have been turned into detention facilities. Call them FEMA camps, call them linked with the Homeland Security, call them whatever you want. But they are exact definition of a FEMA camp. They are able to house people in barbed wire areas, in closed areas where people cannot get out of.
Near a railroad track. In fact, a gentleman named Marlon Brock, who lives outside of Odessa in Midland area, he was sending me photos of this one particular Walmart that they were installing high-grade security. They had a high-grade security company protecting it. He managed to get a few photos from the inside. And they were turning this into a detention facility. No two ways about it. I published the photos, and they just didn't go anywhere. In fact, this was actually during Jade Helm 15. This was during the Jade Helm 15 exercises. So, yeah, we've covered this 9 times Sunday. This is why I'm writing the book, because I'm going to put together a compilation so you think there is no FEMA camps. In fact, Lisa, let me just share this with you. And I'm sure you've heard of this, but here locally, Joel Arpaio, someone who I've met and I've talked to a couple of times, I delved into his files when he was striking back at Obama's persecution of him for enforcing immigration, and he was going after the birth certificate. And his investigation, along with the late Larry Grathwall, former FBI special informant, came to the same conclusion that Bill Lehrers launched Obama's political career in his living room in his Hyde Park, Chicago home. And Bill Lehrers was on the record telling Larry Grathwall, the FBI agent, that, oh yeah, if we ever take over, meaning the communists, that we'll have detention camps, re-education camps, and we'll send 50 million Americans to them, and more than half of them aren't going to be coming out, meaning they're going to kill them. This is the man who launched Obama's career politically. And when you say that Obama's the one that started the FEMA camps, he's been groomed for this for a very long time.
I agree. He has all kinds of ties to communists, to Muslims, he's a whole ball of wax, but at least more is coming out now, and at least people are starting to wake up, even in the Black community. What I've noticed is there's a lot of people in the Black community starting to wake up to some of the atrocities of Obama. They see that he's a Muslim, they see that he's a traitor to America, and they're starting to stand against it, and they're getting more heat than a white American. If I'm honest, like, think of it, Diamond and Silk, for example. They had to go before Congress just because they're simply Black women who are conservative, which is the biggest enemy to the liberal left, and because they love Donald Trump, because it doesn't fit their race narrative. Anyone, who is it that came out recently in tears? Dennis Rodman.
Yes.
You know, I mean, he's got a lot of issues, I agree, but at the same time, he came out in support of President Trump, and they attack him. The other one. Who was the other one?
Kanye West.
Yeah, Kanye West. He comes out, all of a sudden gets attacked and belittled. And we have on the other aspect, we have any actress that comes out. So Roseanne Barr, she comes out, makes her statement on Trump, meets with Trump, and then all of a sudden, bang, they're canceling her show. But nobody else got their show canceled. Nobody else got issues done. There are so many people out there who called and compared presidents and former presidents and political people to apes and chimpanzees in the same. And I'll be honest, who she criticized looks nothing. She looks nothing. She doesn't really look black, even though she is, you know, black. Obviously, she doesn't have that picture. If you just took her at face value, you wouldn't know. And that's what Roseanne Barr said. But nonetheless, they overdid it and made her the worst enemy of all, called her a racist. The narrative from the get-go was making Roseanne Barr a racist, saying she was racist against Valerie Jarrett for making this comment. And so now we have a racist woman following a racist president. Fits their narrative, and that's the image they're trying to draw, and it's disturbing.
And here's what they won't print. See, now I believe Valerie Jarrett is mostly Iranian and a small part African American. Yes. Now, but despite that, if they want to go after Roseanne Barr for the Abe comment, saying it was unjustified in being directed at Valerie Jarrett, I agree. We do not call black people apes. That is an abhorrent term, and I wish Roseanne hadn't said that. But let's get down to brass tacks. If Valerie Jarrett's claiming to be black in this instance, and ABC cancels the show because of this, well, let's look at black Valerie Jarrett, an African-American, supposedly, and what she did when she was in the city of Chicago. She was the assistant city's communications director, and she ran an apartment complex and owned it. It was called Garden Grove Apartments, and it was the worst slumlord situation in Chicago. It was so bad and got so much press in Chicago that the mayor of Chicago had to fire her. So we want to talk about people victimizing black people. You don't have to go any farther than Valerie Jarrett, but ABC won't run that on their news channel.
Oh, no, it doesn't fit their narrative. And I agree 100%. Anything that doesn't fit their narrative, they leave out. Like what they're gonna, like what they're doing with this ID report. More information comes out now. I don't know if you've got a chance to review some of that, but more information is coming out on the corruption, on the, there is a political bias. And they're trying to say there isn't a political bias. It's a very heavy political bias, but it doesn't fit their narrative. So they're dumbing it down, playing it out, pretending like nothing has happened. Same thing, same playbook they've used for a long time now.
My wife and I were out to lunch when the report came out, and we laughed about the first paragraph. And the first paragraph, basically, and I'll paraphrase it, it said, well, they were opposed, the FBI, to the election of Donald Trump, but their actions weren't politically motivated. I mean, you want to talk about an oxymoron right there in the first paragraph. I mean, what a ridiculous report right there. First paragraph, report's discredited.
Yeah, never mind the fact that, you know, what Lisa Page and Peter Strzok sent text messages. What was it? Lisa says, Trump's not going to be president, right? And then he goes and says, no, he won't. We will stop it. That's not politically motivated at all, right?
No, of course not. And then actually they said the bottom sentence in that first paragraph was something along the lines, and the ethics investigation confirmed. Oh, my God. I'm just thinking ethics. You just contradicted yourself in the first two sentences of the report, and then you're claiming it's ethical. We were shaking our heads at the nonsense of this. But I'll tell you what a liberal told me one time, Lisa. I was arguing with them on a point of law. And I just said, let's just look at what the law says. Let's forget about our ideologies and our background. Let's look at the law. And she said to me, this blatant liberal, she said, Dave, you've got it all wrong. It's not about what the law says. It's about us keeping the fight going until we wear you down.
That's true.
That's Rules for Radicals right there. That's right out of their strategy book.
It makes sense because that's what's happening. So you hear about this over, how many years now have we heard about, we have this whole IG report, we have Comey, we have Hillary Clinton's emails, we have Anthony Weiner, there's so much stuff that the public can't even focus on one. There's so much corruption, so much going on. How are we supposed to know who to fire, who not to fire? What to do, what not to do, who's committed a crime, who hasn't committed a crime, because you have so many players, McCabe, and, the list goes on and on and on. And so the American people are like, because any person that has had that amount of information and knows that amount of stuff, it really is like, it's hard to get it all in there. And that's what they're doing. They're making us so sick of hearing about it, so used to it, that we're used to it, and we're used to nothing being done, that everything is okay, unless the media paints you in the light that you need that, that you need to go to jail. So it's really that propaganda thing that we talked about in the beginning. Well, let's propagandize the people to think that Trump is bad and he's the one that needs to go to jail. When in reality, there has been no crime committed by the president. There is no Russia collusion. There's none of that. When the entire time the people committing the crimes are the very ones speaking against it, are the very ones paying the media to talk. And this is why you and I have kind of risen up to, more so. More and more, me and you get more listeners. We have more people listening in, and we have more pushback from YouTube, Google, Facebook, Twitter. We get so much pushback and so much censorship, but yet we continue to grow. We continue to expand. We continue to get the word out. And sometimes it's slower, sometimes it's faster, depending on the kind of pushback and censorship we're getting. But the American people are sick and tired of all the crap, of all the corruption, of nothing being done about it. Somebody needs to go to jail after all this, but I fear that may not happen.
It's not going to. It's not, Lisa. Mike Adams wrote a piece recently, and it was a brilliant piece. Of course, no surprising, it's Mike Adams. And what he said in there is that unless Google is stopped and restrained from their choking off of the First Amendment, it's going to lead to a civil war. And as I hear you talk here, and I hear the resonance in your voice becoming more and more frustrated, and you're a calm person, there's going to be people in this country that aren't going to take this. And in fact, what was it, Alex Jones reported the other day? He had a guest on that said Facebook's going to get firebombed. And it's not that we're advocating for firebombing. I don't advocate for violence. But there are elements in this society that have had enough, and we're going to see this blow up. But Lisa, I think it's a fact that it's planned. And here's what I mean. The Kigali Principles, and I want you to comment on this for a second. Obama signed them before he left office. 28 nations have agreed to come into each other's nations if there is any kind of discord that the UN doesn't have to be invited in. The UN feels they need to intervene, and they can come in with their troops and take over a country. And that's what I think the left is trying to do. I think this is what they're trying to push us towards, to where we'll have civil unrest, and then we'll have UN troops on our streets.
Gosh, that's a scary thought. I mean, I'm hoping and praying, at least under Trump, while Trump is there, that won't happen. I know he's got a lot of negative things with the UN. But it could get to the point where, I don't know what's going to happen after Donald Trump. I don't know. I mean, they could. I pray for his life every day. I hope he is in a good place with God, because it scares me. You know, if Hillary were in, we'd definitely be at that place. That is my biggest fear. If she had actually made it in, I wonder what me and you would look like today. But right now, we're surviving on a threat, and America is continuing to wake up. And these companies like Facebook could cause something like that. I mean, we even had the Trump administration, his 2020 campaign manager there, write a letter to Twitter and Facebook saying, we know you're censoring people. You need to answer to us. I think it was by June 15th or June 18th. So I'm waiting for that follow-up. Either tomorrow or in a couple days, hopefully, to see if did they respond to the letter. And people can go to whitehouse.gov and pull that letter up, or to Dave Pascal's his Twitter page there. But that was sent straight to those sites for a reason. They're hindering our voices. They are saying, we don't agree with what you talk about, so therefore you're irrelevant. Well, the American people hear us, and they hear what we're saying. They hear on the radio. Thankfully, we have a little bit more of an open radio for now, but the American people are starting to hear the things that we have to say, and there could be that uprising. And I'm going to be a part of that. You know, you're going to be a part of that. And American people who are woken up to this, all you need is a very small percent of the population to be upset and disturbed by something for something to take place. 10%, I believe it is, of those voices to be heard, which represent a huge majority. But I fear that if there is some kind of uprising in America, and if they did something to Trump, I fear there definitely would be an uprising in America, then they could very well call in the UN, and maybe Trump wouldn't have a choice. I'm not sure, but there is that possibility. According to what you were saying, it is in our books, and they can very well do that, which is one of the top fears that we need to be ready for.
The current president would have no say. This is totally, Obama totally signed over the decision to bring in UN troops to be at the sole discretion of the UN itself. So, you know, this is why people say, oh, I get it, Dave. I see why you've done some of the stories you've done. Because I wrote about loyalty to Trump by branch, like the Marines are intensely loyal, the Air Force is not. And I've actually done a report card on this because I see this happening. This is coming. I mean, and people say, oh, Dave, you're exaggerating. But Lisa, you remember when the lady showed up because she'd been demonetized on YouTube like crazy and she started shooting at YouTube people at their headquarters? Remember that case?
Yeah.
Well, they sure shut that down in a hurry, didn't they? You didn't hear that on the media after the first day. And what I really found interesting about that case is I think that was just the chest pains that are, you know, signaling there's a heart attack coming. Because, you know, I'm not going to show up. I'm not going to shoot someone because YouTube cancels my account. But there are people out there who will.
Oh, absolutely. And that lady, she was on the far left, I believe. You know, I mean, she was crazy. I looked at some of her videos, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, she was a nutcase. I agree with you. But there are a lot of nutcases out there. And I will tell you that today's nutcase is tomorrow's mainstream person. It just depends how far the persecution goes. See, people need an outlet. This is where the globalists are stupid. They're trying to provoke us to fight because they're not that stupid. If you cut off people's access to First Amendment expression, they're going to find how to do it in other ways. And it usually isn't peaceful.
That's true. You know, and I think they're, to go back a little bit to what you said too, is I think they're adding more crazies. You know, they really are. They're making more, because, and I know I sound like a broken record, but with the fluoride in the water, with the chemtrails in the sky, with the GMOs and stuff we're eating, with the vaccines that people are giving, they're dumbing us down. And so people are more susceptible to mental issues. People are more mental in general. We have, you know, ADHD. We have all these psychotropic drugs being pushed down people's throats. We have, you know, RAD, reactive attachment disorder. I don't know if you've studied RAD, but it is one of, it's a very scary thing because it's almost as if the people don't have a conscience. And so we're having that rise, which the Bible actually talks about people not having a conscience in later days. And when I studied that particular one, a majority of the people in your prisons have that reactive attachment disorder or have been diagnosed with that. But we also know that a majority of them are on your psychotropic drugs, you know, and so we have a bunch of people who are already on edge. So it's like the clock to tick and go off on something at any moment is definitely there. This is attributed to more school shootings. I mean, we never had them, you know, what, 20 some odd years ago, and now we hear about them almost monthly now.
I have a question for you on that point. I ask this repeatedly, and liberals will refuse to answer this. They talk about take the guns because of the school shootings, and I ask them, why do you think they don't have these events in other countries?
Yeah, like the what events?
The school shootings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they're not drugging their people.
Well, that's one answer. That's one answer. The other answer, I think, is a lot of these are false flags. And their excuses to take the guns, and this isn't going on in other countries, and this is why we don't see these events imitated in foreign land.
Because they're not after their guns, because they already have them.
Exactly.
Oh, and a liberal's not going to tell you that. They're not even at that level. I'm hoping to wake a few liberals up, you know, really and truthfully to what's really going on, because a lot of people see the liberal and they think of the old liberal, like, you know, if you want to do something, do it. It's okay. If you want to be this way, you can be that way. You know, that's not who they are today. The leftists have really taken over the whole thing and made it into communist. And manipulating people in that manner. And that's what really scares me, is we really are headed for that communist ploy, that communist direction. And that's why Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and all the upper ranks of the Democratic Party are after our guns. It's not because they care about our safety. The answer is very clearly because they want control. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. They want as much power over us as they can get. They know if we don't have our guns, then we cannot defend ourselves.
You know, along those lines, and I've said this a lot, but since we're on the topic, and I want the listening audience to hear this and play this for a liberal, the University of Hawaii has done something called the Democide Project, and they studied death by government, and they studied genocides in the 20th century, and every single one of them was preceded by gun confiscation. That's why you don't give up your guns.
You know, too, as far as guns are concerned, you know, countries that we already know here, New York and Chicago, or, you know, Detroit, excuse me, have the highest gun crimes and the worst gun laws. That should tell us something right here at home. But every single time, along that lines of the Hawaii study, let me go back and say this. When you Google on the internet, I encourage everyone to get on the internet and Google this, because this is one of the most eye-opening things that you could focus on. But the biggest killer in all of our history, who killed the most people? Was it a war? Was it what? You know, who over time killed more people than anyone else? Governments.
Mm-hmm. That's
100%
right.
Governments. Governments are the biggest mass murderer in history. Since zero, all the way to where we're at today. Since Adam and Eve, all the way to where we're at now. Governments are the ones who do it. And why? Because they can. Because they take the power from the people and have it in their own hands. And that, I think, should be at the forefront of every gun conspiracy or every reason they want to take our guns away. That should be at the front. That should be brought back up, because maybe we could wake up a few liberals with that one.
Well, you see, the first part of taking your guns is to control the narrative. And this is where I stand with Mike Adams, because the First Amendment suppression being done by the social media outlets is a way to keep us from organizing against the tyranny of taking our guns. And the two go together. You know, you can't have a Second Amendment without a First Amendment. And your First Amendment is meaningless unless you have something to back it up with guns. And this is why they're after both. And this is the purpose of social media today, to take away the First Amendment.
Social media isn't even, it's a propaganda machine. Mainstream media is a propaganda machine. That's why they hate us. That's why they don't want us. And they've admitted to that. It's even, I think, legalized here in America. Let me give you an example of a report I put out about the National Security Agency. Now, we know George Orwell, 1984, he wrote his book, what, in 1948.
Yes.
I'm like, wait, flip him. Yeah, so he wrote that 1948, 1949, I think. But when he wrote that book, a few years later, 1952, is when you have the NSA officially being official or opening and starting their offices. Well, in a file that I found from posters that were contained in the National Security Agency's office from 1950s, when they opened 1952, to the 1960s, I went through, and via FOIA Act, a Freedom of Information Request Act, some of these posters were revealed, and they mimic the exact images and things we see in George Orwell's 1984, like security, everyone is everyone's responsibility. We are watching you. You know, it's kind of that freedom is slavery mentality, but they brainwash all their people there at the NSA to say, basically, we're watching you. If you say something, that's death. You know, and it has the one eye that you see on George Orwell's 1984 book, you know, watching from the wall. But it's basically scaring their employees into saying, if you say something, you're going to be in a lot of trouble about what we're doing here. And they even had one, the most terrifying one, or there was a few that were really terrifying, but the most terrifying one had the Gettysburg Address, you know, the last verses of it by the people, for the people, of the people. And they scratched out people in red blood and wrote for the state, by the state, of the state. And then also crossed out under God. And those words directly taken out. And it's just, what's the message that you're trying to send there? If you're telling your people that the state is in charge, not the people, what's the ultimate agenda there? And so they're doing things, and they don't care about the repercussions on it. But this is the kind of propaganda they're using for their employees. And this was back in the 1950s and 60s. And then you think of forward to today, the kind of propaganda that they're using on us now via the social media, the mainstream media. And it's like you said, like your friend told you, they're just giving us more and more and more and more evidence and overdoing it, so nobody does anything about it.
I couldn't have said that any better. You're exactly right. The battle lines are drawn, and America is numb. You know, it's interesting. There's a you alluded to this earlier. You were talking about, I believe, the SNARC research, S-N-A-R-C. And 10% of a given population is excited about a concept. It'll spread like wildfire. But there's a caveat to that. We're past that 10%. More than 10% of the country knows how bad it is. But we are so propagandized. We're on information overload. I call it analysis paralysis. People don't know who the enemy is, because because the threats are omnipresent. They're everywhere. They're above you, below you, and beside you.
Oh, yeah, they are. And that's the thing. They're embedded everywhere. And people who are on that side don't even realize it. Like, a lot of them are too brainwashed to believe because they've been taught by their curriculums. They've been taught by their schools. They've been taught by their teachers, by their colleges. So it starts from the very beginning. Unless you have your children and you unpropagandize them and tell them about propaganda, then they're going to fall into that thinking they're doing the right thing until somebody's opened their eyes. That's why, again, we're such the enemy. I mean, you watch these average everyday shows like Quantico, like the one president where all the people died and there's one left, Designated Survivor, shows like that, and there's constantly an anti-gun agenda. They attack guns, they attack guns, they attack the average person, paint domestic terrorists as worse than, you know, ISIS or Al-Qaeda. In the end, what you're doing is sending the message to a mass amount of people through propagandized videos saying guns are bad, and the government is good, and the government's the only one that's allowed to have them. So in the video, the only ones that's allowed to have those guns are your government officials who are, quote, trained to use them because the American people are not smart enough. And that should be a straight-up insult. Why does that insult many people? Why aren't we upset? Why aren't we mad? Knowing the statistics we know, knowing that government regimes like Stalin, like Hitler, like Mao, all rise up against their citizens and do these evil, corrupt things to them through an unarmed mass. Why even ponder the question? That's what I don't get. Why even ask it? Why? And that's what I think gets me the most, is they're brainwashed to that level to even believe that taking our guns is a good thing. How did we even get there? Because our forefathers and every other country, that was something that was valued in America above any other countries. To be able to have your weapons, to have your arms, was something that was very prideful, very good pride, to say, I am able to do this. I'm an American citizen and I have a freedom unlike anyone else. And yet we take our Second Amendment and throw it in the trash, a chunk of us here, because we don't know the legalities behind it. We've been brainwashed and propagandized to believe it's the enemy, and that's what's scary.
Well, the stooges that are helping to bring this about really have no clue. I had a conversation once with a person from Antifa, and I wanted them to come on my show so I could do a point counterpoint with them. And I said, listen to me, I'm a pretty calm person. I'm not going to be insulting your mother. We're going to have a calm conversation, point counterpoint. I'll let you have your say. And then he says, well, okay. And he says, I'm going to kick your you know what. And I said, that's fine. Just be respectful on air. Realize kids listen. And then I said this to him. I said, do you think someday when the Chinese troops are already here and they're mobilized under the UN flag are coming down your street, do you think they're going to give a damn that you're a liberal and a black person and I'm a conservative and I'm a white person? Do you think they're going to differentiate you as the barrel of their tank blows your house apart with you and your family in it? And the guy broke into tears and he said, I'm not coming on your show.
Wow.
They don't think about the implications of what they support. That's the problem. Lisa, my friend, this has gone too fast. This has been fascinating, but we're out of time. Tell people how they can follow your good work.
Sure. If they want to check me out, they can do that on lisahaven.news. I've got a website, a newsletter there if anybody wants to subscribe to it. Or just plug me in on YouTube, Lisa Haven, and I'm there as well.
That's terrific. You do such great work, Lisa. It's an honor to have you on this show. And I just hope you keep working. The volume you've been putting out has been impressive, and the topics are really well researched. And I would encourage you to follow Lisa's work, and she'll be on again. We're going to keep checking in with her because she keeps producing quality work. Lisa, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks again, Dave, for having me on.
That's Lisa Haven. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We'll be right back. Okay, let me mark that 5027. Okay, and we're in good shape there with time. You did good. It was really lively. This is going to be an easy listen for people.
Perfect. Thank you. Well,
okay.
I'm glad I was able to come on for you.
Okay. Well, hey. Oh, by the way, I'm going to put out an article tomorrow, and I don't know if it's too technical for the dumbed down person, but these earthquakes going off, I have been a fan of what they call hyperdimensional physics, quantum physics, for a long time, and I can pretty well demonstrate that the planet's ready to go into a pole shift, and that's what this is about.
Oh, interesting.
And we'll see, along the celestial lines, and the article is extremely hard to write because the hard part is making it simple. And so, I mean, these principles go on throughout the solar system and the universe, and along the 19.5 southern latitude on every celestial body before a star supernovas, the process starts at 19.5. When you look at other planets that go through their pole shift, it's at 19.5. And these lines, a lot of these major earthquakes that are going on, well, Hawaii, you know, the big island, is at 19.5. The Philippines, when they had their massive earthquake, 19.5. Mexico City, 19.5. Now the earthquake tremors will spread. Yellowstone is ready to go critical, I believe. So does Michio Kaku. But I'm coming out with this tomorrow, and I'm tying into the science. This isn't prophecy. This is just, hey, we're entering an ice age that we're hundreds of years overdue for.
Yikes. Well, I want to let me know when you post that. Are you going to post it tomorrow on your Sense Show, right?
Yeah, it'll be on the website in the morning. I'm about 90% done with it now. And like I said, I really tried to make it simple. But when you look at this physics, and by the way, the history of it's really interesting. And this is the part I got to write tonight. When Tesla, he was the guy who lit up Denver on a city block from Colorado Springs using magnetic grid lines. It's just part of the same theory. He didn't use wires. And then 20 years later, he told Westinghouse what he could do, because they were talking about putting a meter on everyone's wires going into their house to charge for electricity. He said, we don't have to do that. We can do this for free. He was done. They ostracized him from the global elite as the darling scientist. So he goes to work for the Navy. And then hyperdimensional physics, quantum physics, went away for decades. Now it's starting to reemerge in our colleges. And we're beginning to see what Tesla knew well over a century ago. And it's starting to emerge now. But this stuff shows us so much. It explains earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes. And it's also what Project HAARP is based on. Whoever built Project HAARP knew exactly what they were doing with this theory. And in fact, Nick Begich and I have had this discussion. He's the guy that really broke the HAARP story. And I gave him this hyperdimensional stuff. And he said, Dave, you're right on the money. He goes, this is exactly what they do. So I'm hopeful that people will see, hey, this isn't scalar weapons that are making Hawaii go crazy, that can conspiracy theories nonsense. These are natural forces, and we could be going into an ice age pretty quickly.
That's crazy. I'm gonna read that one, and then I'll probably bring you on about it sometime soon if you're good with it.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Hey, well, thanks for coming on, Lisa. It was a lot of fun. You did a great job.
Awesome. Well, thank you, David. Thanks for having me on. And yes, I'm gonna read that tomorrow and then pull you on sometime. So
okay,
cool.
Sounds good. See you later.
All right, bye, Dave.
Bye, bye. I want to thank everybody for joining us this evening, and most of all, thanks to our special guests, Bob Griswold, Liz Croken, and Lisa Haven. Make sure you follow their fine work. Please visit us at our website at thecommonsenseshow.com, and also visit our YouTube, also The Common Sense Show, and we will see you back here next week. Go out and have a great week, everybody. God bless.